Good morning. Good morning and happy Epiphany Sunday. Yay! What is the best greeting ever? So yay to all of you. Friends, whether you have been here your whole life or this is the first time you have found your way to this worshiping community, we are so glad that you are here. Take a look at your bulletin. It has announcements and also calendars, more ways for you to learn about how we are church together. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. This is the first Sunday of the month we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Communion. Please know that the table is open to all, so you are welcome to participate with us. One calendar note in the Harbinger, I was told this morning it said that there is a congregational meeting today. That is not correct. No congregational meeting. I promise we don't slip them in. We've got bylaws. There has to be 2 weeks of announcements in order for those to happen. But there is a congregational meeting at the end of the month with the potluck. So this is your first Sunday of announcement regarding that. And then we have a few other great announcements this morning. Whit?
You may have seen the information in the Harbinger about a proposed mission trip for hurricane relief in the spring. Only one person has expressed interest, so I think that's not going to happen. But if anybody is interested, Third Presbyterian is having a hurricane relief work project in the Houston area starting on February 17th. I have the details if anybody wants more information about that. Thank you.
And let's see, Linda.
Hi, Tess and I want to make an announcement. This is the Church Mouse Bazaar team. Now we are handing over the reins to Larry Wakeman. I'm going to stand up here, Larry. He's going to be the chairperson for next year's Church Mouse Bazaar. So I hope that you will give him all the help that you've given us. And he will need some extra people to help with things. So please help Larry and as much as you have helped us and make the bazaar next year or this coming year a success. Thank you.
I'd also like to thank Linda and Tess for their smooth running of the Church Mouse in the past, and hopefully I can keep that going. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Saturday, 6 to 8:30, this is the Blue Mountain Coffee House. So buy your tickets after church, sign up to perform, donate some desserts. We need your help so we can get to Jamaica. Thank you.
All right, Jen.
Good morning. Just a quick update on our Sunday school programs. Today is the first day that we're trying a new split with the age groups. So 5th through 8th graders, you will be meeting during worship in the junior high lounge, and pre-K to 4th will still be in room 2 over here. We also need to recruit some Sunday school teachers for the rest of the year, so for our pre-K to 4th class. So if anyone has interest in doing that, please see me after worship. Thanks.
No, you can do it. All you. All you.
Just a quickie, because people were away last week. The envelopes are out in the foyer. Don't forget to pick up yours. And don't forget to throw away the old ones. The credit won't be right if you use the old ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
Thank you. Please stand and join me if you are able. No call to worship. We are searching for a light to guide us. We are longing for inspiration to motivate us. We are wishing for the world to change. We are ready to see what God can do. Our hearts rejoice in God's glory. We join together to shine.
Let us join our hearts and voices together in the Litany Prayer of Confession. We remember the Magi who set out with singular focus on the promise of the heavens. And we remember the ways that we have lost sight of you, God, as the bright guides for our lives. We remember that they stayed determined on their journey, not even swayed by Herod's power and promises. And we remember that often we have started out well, but strayed from your path, detoured by our fleeting fears and desires. We remember the wise ones who adored the child, wisdom and wealth falling to their knees before a poor infant. And we remember that too often we have given our adoration to wealth or wisdom, not seeing the Christ in our midst. To each of us who knows that we have lost sight of the promise, or lost the way of our God, or lost hope, God has a promise. I am with you, and God gives a holy presence and forgiveness and new hope in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'm going to invite the children to come forward. Actually, we're not going to go forward. We're going to go this way. How about here? I kind of like it here. Does this look like a good spot? Okay. I'm going to sit in the chair because otherwise I might not get back up. You guys can sit on the floor. All right. So a new location today. So how many of you all put away your Christmas decorations already? How many of you all still have Christmas decorations up? Yes, thank you, my lovers of Epiphany, because you all know that today is actually the last day of Christmas, the 12th day, and today is called Epiphany. Have you heard of that word before? Epiphany, little bit, sometimes. This is the day that the church celebrates the coming of the wise men to see baby Jesus. So I happen to have three wise people, probably men, there's lots of facial hair on these, but we don't really know, to be honest, if they were all men. One or two could have been a woman. We are going to journey with the wise men today, the wise people, so why don't you stand back up, and I need three volunteers. Let's stand up. All right. Can I have three volunteers? Graham, you are a wise person. Yes, a wise person. Sorry, we got some good wise women. And we do need to follow. What did those wise people follow? Do you remember? Tell me. What did they follow? The star. Where is there a star that we could possibly follow? How many stars are over there right now? Can you count them? Multiple, yes. One, two. Which star do you think we should follow? Which one do you like better? Someone pick. Pick a star. You've got two. Pick one. No one? No one? Really? Okay. Owen, you've got it. Let's go find the star. Come on. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. We found one. You found it. And if we follow that star, what do we find again? Aw, baby Jesus. So thank you, wise people. You can put the wise people in the manger with baby Jesus if you'd like. Freya, you taking baby Jesus on a tour? All right, that's cool. All right. You know what? Baby Jesus did need some love, didn't he? Yes, and that was what the wise men came when they saw baby Jesus. He may have even been a little bit bigger than just a baby. Do you know what they did when they saw him? They knelt before him. Can we do that? Can we kneel before him? And this was to show just how special they believed baby Jesus to be, that those wise men believed baby Jesus was the Son of God and came to show them a new way to love. And so in this coming year, here's what I'd like for you to do. Even if you just do it today, it's a good start. I want you to keep your eyes and ears and hands open to see the love in the world. Can you guys do that? Look for the love, all right? Can we pray together? Dear God, help us to look for the shining light of your love in the world. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so I hear you all have Sunday school today. So if you are in preschool or pre-K, you get to go out those doors over there. And if you are in fifth grade up through eighth grade, even if you maybe didn't come forward for the children's sermon, fifth through eighth graders, out that door. Thank you.
The first reading of the word today is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
And our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." So during the rest of worship this morning, I will also call your attention to the screen, where I will use a few images at the beginning of my sermon, and then they're going to play automatically. The images that you'll see are a combination of images that I have taken on my two trips to Bethlehem, and then they will also include some artwork that is done and displaying Christian Palestinians' artwork. So I hope that as you worship this morning, you have a moment to focus on one or more of those images. Because I wonder, and I would invite you to wonder with me, if the wise men from the east were underwhelmed by Bethlehem, as I was when I first saw it. Passing through the old city of Jerusalem, as those ancient travelers did coming from the east, I wonder if they stopped and were captivated by the sight of the large gleaming stones of Herod's newly built temple perched on her mount. Did they pause their stargazing in Jerusalem long enough to negotiate with a few merchants outside the city gates for a taste of figs and almonds or a jug of wine? Perhaps those wise persons were treated by members of Herod's court to a luxurious steam in the bathhouse spa after their long journey. I wonder if it was there that they heard the gossip of the growing anxiety of the people. And surely these travelers were wise enough to recognize the dangers of an insecure and fearful person in power. You see, Herod was desperately clinging to his position of privilege and prosperity by constructing towering buildings, issuing irrational demands, and was holding a nation hostage with his threats of violence. These wise men, yet not really kings, as many of our translations and texts suggest, they are magi. And in the world of Jesus, this was a caste of very high-ranking, educated, political, religious advisors to the rulers of the Persian Empire. So I have no doubt that these magi had played this game before. Repacking their fine gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh in Jerusalem, it was not lost. The irony was not lost on them about these extravagant gifts and how the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh underpinned Jerusalem's wealth. And they were now being offered to a different kind of king. So the Magi made their way from Jerusalem to the southern hillside down Hebron Road. And the splendor of Jerusalem was at their backs. And the insignificance of the small village of Bethlehem was before them. There's no more than 9 miles distance between the two. Bethlehem is nestled on a sloping limestone hill. There's a fertile valley where the olives grow and the sheep graze. I believe the Magi knew something that I would come to learn in asking, where? Where is this child born king of the Jews, echoing Herod's question? And yet they are guided by something altogether different. They follow the direction of a star and the whispers of the Jewish people of what the prophet Micah foretold. See, thousands of years ago, Micah had written, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel." With these words in their minds and their hearts, the Magi continue their short journey to this place known for producing one great king, David, and now possibly another. See, and my first glimpse of Jesus' birthplace was from a rooftop less than a mile from Jerusalem. When I saw it first, evening had come, and there was no bright shining star overhead, thanks to a lot of light pollution, only the distant call to prayer from a minaret from the Mosque of Omar, illuminated in a pale green light. But by daylight, the stark reality of centuries of division juts up from the landscape. You see, right down the center of the image, Bethlehem is there on the other side of an 8-foot concrete wall, lined with watchtowers and cameras, barbed wire, and armed Israeli soldiers, telling the story of those who live under its shadow. So today, Bethlehem is walled off in what is called the West Bank from the rest of Israel. The Israeli government says the wall was built to protect its citizens, ensuring their safety and security. In reality, that wall cuts through the heart of Bethlehem, separating the small urban area from its agricultural lands. Palestinian Christians and Muslim alike have very little movement through the checkpoints to access health care, to visit family and friends, or any of the places of worship in Jerusalem. Any attempts to do so without the proper permits, which are nearly impossible for Palestinians to obtain, are met by border agents armed with rubber bullets and tear gas. Conversations with Palestinians living in and around Bethlehem quickly reminded me of a quote by activist Lila Watson. She said, "If you've come to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you've come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let's work together." There was no place here in Bethlehem for my disillusionment, sentimentality, or my pity. I came carrying my so-called gifts of self-sufficiency and security and prosperity, and was met and humbled by the gifts of the people that revealed vulnerability and neighborliness and radical generosity. Perhaps the Magi, too, were not underwhelmed with the austerity of Bethlehem. For in their hearts, they knew that the gentle shepherd king would come from one of the most unexpected of places, a place where the people will be organized for well-being in resistance to imperial threats. And as one scholar points out, the prophet Micah indeed anticipated a common leader who will bring well-being to his people, not by great political ambition, but by attentiveness to the facts of the folks on the ground. This story from the Gospel of Matthew and my experience in Bethlehem makes me wonder if we too come to these biblical stories, have these idealized places in mind with misplaced expectations. Will we be able to look beyond the real situations and people in front of us in hopes of finding a version of the gospel and the Christ child that makes us comfortably impressed and numbly secure? Is this where he will be born in us? We know Jesus himself tells us that the truly blessed ones are those who are poor in spirit, the mournful, the meek, the merciful, and the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And it is among these little ones where Jesus is truly to be found. It was quite a wake-up call for me the week of Christmas, with all of the expectations of commercialism and family and church weighing heavily on all the things that I had not yet done. But I had just a moment to be reminded that none of us need to travel to the Holy Land to experience where Jesus is found. I had half an hour on a Wednesday where I was able to take some colleagues of mine from Rural Migrant Ministry to the airport. I assumed they were both visiting family members, and one was, but I was a bit surprised to hear one young woman in her early 20s. She told me about how she wasn't going to visit family this year. Instead, she had committed 2 weeks of her time down to the U.S.-Mexico border to work with organizations supporting children and youth separated from their families. Gabriela herself had come from El Salvador with her parents as a young child and knew the suffering and fear that those children endured. The daughter of migrant farm workers, now a recent college graduate working for a nonprofit, she says, I don't really have much to give, just myself and a commitment to working together with people. Not to help, but to hope. To hope that the Herods of this world would not have their way. That is where Jesus told us he would be. And I smiled, and in my heart, pausing for a moment to thank God for this young woman who knew that over Christmas to go looking for Jesus, she would find him there, among the hungry and the thirsty, among the stranger and the immigrant, among those who lack clothing or medical care, and those who are in prison. For Jesus said that insofar as you care for the least of me, you care for me. As much as we want to sentimentalize the familiarity of Jesus' words and story, we uncover the aching echoes of Epiphany that call to question our carefully constructed, self-serving, and underwhelmed notions of what this season and faith means for this world and our lives. For this is not where he will be born. May we together journey with these wise men in this Epiphany season and discover the places where, in fact, God's love will be born this day and always. Amen.
come. Come all who journey in faith, bringing your lives, both broken and holy, for there is a place for you here. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it. He broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you.
And also with
you. Our hearts are ablaze.
Shining with God's
soul. Let us come and kneel down once more. In that first moment you spoke, radiant God, and the light of creation dispelled the thick darkness of chaos. You whispered and your glory filled the skies. You sang and the dust of the earth was shaped in your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endures, for as long as the moon hangs in the sky. But we were tempted by the sweet taste of sin and overwhelmed with temptation's wealth of cheap gifts and thrills. The prophets were sent to tell of your gifts of joy and peace, but we listened to the world's news of success, power, and achievement. Finally, in that dark time of despair, you sent the light of your love.
Some travelers once journeyed together beneath a fiery star of wonder and royal light to seek the treasure of their hearts. Kneeling in a stable, they found the gift they sought. In this Epiphany season, we also set out seeking signs of your presence and remembering how this child of Bethlehem broke bounds of oppression to pour our compassion for all. The song of our hearts long for you too.
Guide us to thy perfect light. We remember your call for our lives, O God, to reflect your light in the world. In these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place and on the gifts of the bread and the cup. Feed us with the bread of hope, so when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, to speak for the voiceless, to assist those cast aside. Refresh us with the cup of grace, so we, overwhelmed with joy, would go forth to enter the houses of the strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and forgotten, to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. While we do not always understand what it means to travel down a different path, we go as your disciples, learning from your life and teaching. We also remember a final meal where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life. Here is promise. You are my beloved. Here we are sharing in your story and your light.
We remember your life, your words, your love.
As we share this bread and cup, may we open ourselves to the strength and brightness of this love. Amen. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes us, common people, and makes each and every one of us holy. And so that they and we might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he asked us to remember this act and repeat it again and again, and he did so saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." and knowing that we cannot live by bread alone. He took the cup. Saying, "This is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, do in remembrance of me." And we break this bread and we drink of this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the promise of faith and hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God. For the people of God, let us celebrate together.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst." Let us taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the goodness of God's love and strength."
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to reflect your light in this world. Amen.
Filled with God's love and light, we are empowered to share that in the world, both in our words and our actions. Part of how we do that is to share our prayers of joy and concern, and to share those and to hold those in our conversations with God throughout the week. How can we be in prayer with and for you in the upcoming week? Kate, over here.
Kate Stanford, a while ago I told you about a friend of mine's son who was hit by the car while riding his bike home. He came home for Christmas.
Amen. Great joy. Thank you, Kate.
Keisha Binko, just prayers for the friends and family of the young man who lost his life in that horrible car accident on Thursday night, and for the lives that were forever changed that night as well, and for the widespread ripple effect that it has on people in our community.
Prayers for the family and friends and all those impacted by this young man's death so early.
Ione Crossdale, I'm saying thanks to all my church members for your prayers, your well wishes, your cards, and your visits. I'm doing very well, thanks.
Good to see you, Ione.
Jenny Smith, after we have had our communion service today, I thought we should be giving thanks to somebody who has done baked that loaf of bread for 40 years, and that is Linda Allen.
Aww.
Thank you, Linda.
We celebrate Linda Allen and her commitment, so she makes the bread that gets broken here. Any other prayers of joy or concern? We have... I'm seeing one more.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I would just ask you to ask for prayers for my mother, who's been in the hospital down in Charlotte, North Carolina, this past week with pneumonia. So with any luck, she'll be coming home tomorrow. So if you would pray for her, thank you.
Continued prayers for her recovery, definitely. And prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for going to Disney World and a sister's birthday. Prayers of joy for a new jacket from Grandma, for going shopping for new clothes, and prayers of concern for Brendan Shaw, who was hurt in his dance class. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of revelation and epiphany, through the words of the prophets, you have shown us the world of your dreaming and longing, a world built on justice, overflowing with plenty and crowned with joy. And through the coming of Emmanuel, his living, his loving, his words and actions, you have shown us how such a world might be fashioned. Help us to take hold and grow into these understandings, and like Jesus, may we always be ready to live generously, love expansively, speak boldly, act courageously, that the kingdom of your dreaming, with its justice, abundance, and joy, may become the present reality of all the peoples of this world. And it is in his name we share the words together that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your radiant light. Please take our gifts this morning, our gifts of money and our use of time, and use them to continue to keep your light bright in this world. Amen.
Let us go forth from this place with God's love and light shining through our hearts and our very lives.
this day and always. Alleluia. Amen.